As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Alrighty, welcome back in. Zach Gelb here with you on The Fan. What a night last night at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. I thought, quite frankly, when we started the fourth quarter, that this was going to be a negative show today. And we're going to be talking about the Knicks just blowing that game one after a good start in the first quarter, just not being able to translate the rest of the game. And then they go out of nowhere on this 21-0 run, anchored by Cam Payne and Jalen Brunson, and Payne had 11 fourth-quarter points, and it was something. And the Knicks end up winning the game a buck 123-112. They take a 1-0 series lead up against the Pistons in the 3-6 matchup, and you'll have game number 2 tomorrow evening at MSG. Ian Begley was in the building, does a tremendous job covering the Knicks, the Nets, and the NBA for SNY TV, right here locally, obviously, in New York, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Ian, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Come on, Zach. Anytime, man. You know that.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So I don't want to sound like Francesa here, because I've been to a few Knicks games this year, and I get really good seats. My buddy Jeff has season tickets right behind the bench, and I've observed Cameron Payne a lot this year. And he can never sit still. He always has positive energy. For him to go off in the game, that wasn't on my bingo card, but what a masterful performance that was. And that's playoff basketball where you expect the unexpected.
Yeah, a role player can swing a game or swing a series. You see it so often. And you hit it, Zach, on your intro. I mean, this team seemed like it was on its way to a brutal season series opening loss. At home, it was going to be, we were going to be talking about, season on the brink today, but campaign comes in and really changes the game, changes the trajectory of the series. And, you know, is he going to duplicate that? Maybe, maybe not, but just special, special run for a player who really comes in and day out with that positive attitude, Zach, that you see from your courtside seats. He's infectious. He does that every day. It's not just a show for the games. That's every day. That's what the guys say, and they really appreciate that energy. And you saw how pumped up he was during that fantastic run.
And really, they have a few unexpected guys that could have a game like this for the rest of the postseason, because Cam Payne had his moment last night. Landry Shamet is obviously capable of knocking down some three-pointers, Ian, and then Deuce as well. We know what he's capable of shooting as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's interesting because Tom Thibodeau went to Landry Shamet first off the bench on Saturday. And I thought, all right, well, does this mean campaign is out of the rotation? Campaign, I think he had maybe 5 minutes in the first half. And then he does what he does in the fourth quarter. So it looked like maybe he was the guy who was going to get short minutes. Obviously, that's not how it turned out. I mean, if you look at his plus minus, it's just ridiculous. Single game plus minus, I don't really love, but this is just out of control because he was a plus 23 in 15 minutes. And I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that. And if you remember, he really gave Philadelphia a spark last year in the playoffs against New York, and Nick Nurse, for some reason, went away from him in a move that really cost them an important game in the series. Tom Thibodeau obviously not going away from campaign Saturday night, and he really brought them home.
Ian Begley here with us. Yeah, let me just say one thing about Tom Thibodeau, because he has been talked about in every possible way heading into this postseason, and we'll see when the run ends how we're talking about Tibbs. It was an underrated kind of move last night, but I thought with about 2 minutes, 90 seconds left, taking Payne out, knowing that he got everything that he got out of him, you put Bridges in and he hits that jumper. I'll be curious if maybe that gets Bridges going for game number two on the offensive end.
Yeah, Bridges was quiet offensively. He did a good job, obviously, within the scheme defensively. And he's a guy who really thrives in that mid-range. And he talked before the series about how that real estate is usually open because everybody's defending the three or defending the paint. And he likes to operate in there. So maybe he can get going from the mid-range. But, you know, OG Anunoby, Bridges, Hart, they did yeoman's work, obviously, on Cade Cunningham in that opening night. And it was, a lot of it was Anunoby, but it's really a team effort. And so I think you give Bridges credit for how stout the club was against a very good young player, Cade Cunningham.
And I know we just get accustomed to these Jalen Brunson moments, Ian Begley, but we talk about, right, this team being down 8 points and Jalen's ankle clearly not being 100%. It was a lot of doom and gloom in the feeling early on in that fourth quarter, and then we know how it ended. But to see the way that Brunson, in addition, we know what Payne did, just takes over that game in the fourth quarter, finishes with 34. You have ESPN analysts before this series. Oh, Cade Cunningham's the best player in this series. I don't know how anyone bets against Jalen Brunson right now, what he's been able to do the last few years.
I mean, look, he said it after the game, right? He felt like he was able to settle in, figure some things out after that rough 2-for-13 start. And you saw it in his shooting and how impactful he was in that fourth quarter. I think he finished, 10 of his last 14. He got comfortable even with the ankle, the left ankle now being an issue. The right ankle was what kept him out for a month. It seemed like he tweaked that left ankle. But he comes back in the game and he makes so many big plays for a Knick team that needed it. They were getting it from campaign, but they weren't all the way home. And he really helped them get through. And, yeah, Brunson, to me, like what you saw from him in game one, the first half at least, was similar to what you saw, I think, in the first two games against Philly last year, where he just was struggling to get going and missing shots that he had made all regular season. And that's what I saw in the first half. He was taking shots that he usually hits, and he just got himself going second half. So much earlier than the first round last year, you saw the Jalen Brunson, vintage Jalen Brunson, you might say, in the playoffs Saturday night, fourth quarter.
Ian Begley here with us. This Pistons team, I tweeted out in the third quarter, I go, they're a pesky bunch. There's no doubt about that. And then in the fourth, you just maybe see their youth kind of take over as they finish with 19 turnovers in the game and just had a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes in the fourth. I'll be curious now. We thought, all right, all the pressure is going to be on the Knicks going into this game too. But now all the pressure is on the Detroit Pistons. I know people say, oh, a series isn't over until you drop one on your home court. But, man, with how that shifted in the fourth last night, I'll be very fascinated. And that building's going to be rocking tomorrow in New York. How the Pistons look in the first half.
And Zach, one thing to keep an eye on, Isaiah Stewart was clearly hobbled, right? I think he missed the last two games of the regular season or two games late in the regular season with a knee injury. It seemed like it flared up on him again early in that game, and he had to take himself out in the fourth quarter, really at the very start of that Knick 21-0 run. And I was told that he had to have imaging on the knee after the game. And, this is going to be an issue for the rest of this series because of Stewart's importance to the Detroit Pistons. He's listed as questionable for tomorrow. Right now, I'd be surprised if he plays. And so him at 80%, if he's out there or if he's not out there, that'll play a big role in this series moving forward for Detroit and for the Knicks.
By the way, that Malik Beasley's a pain, Ian Begley. He's a pain.
He's a pest. Hey, look, he's one of those guys. I'm sure everybody in Detroit loves him. I'm sure they're all buying his jersey, but everyone else facing the Pistons hates him. And that's what you like about the playoffs. Villains emerge. Guys hit big shots, and they, you know, he's got his little shimmy that he likes to do. I'll tell you what, he is red hot in the garden from three. I know he cooled off a little bit second half. Seemed like variance kicked in for the Pistons as a whole, but he really has shot the ball well in the garden, so you got to keep track of him. Obviously, it starts with Cunningham, and Knicks did well against Cunningham, I thought, Saturday night.
I walked into this series, Ian Begley, and I thought that the Knicks were going to win this series in six. I can maybe alter that and maybe go to five just because of how demoralizing game one was for the Detroit Pistons, but I'm not really all that concerned that the Knicks are going to drop this series. When you get to the big picture here with Tom Thibodeau, we haven't had a coach here with the Knicks that's won back-to-back 50-game seasons since Pat Riley, but a lot is on the line from what people say in terms of the job status of Tibbs. Is it just he wins this series and he's definitely back, or assuming it is Boston in the second round, I know we're putting the cart before the horse here, but does it matter how they lose to the Celtics for the job status of Tom Thibodeau?
My understanding coming into it was you lose the first round and there's going to be a lot of hard conversations about everything, including the head coach. How they play against Boston, it's hard for me to predict how James Dolan and team president Leon Rose are going to assess, you know, a potential egg against the Celtics. If they come out and lay an egg, if it's the regular season all over again against the Celtics, I would assume there's going to be some scrutiny there. But I think that the major hurdle here would be the first round. And, you know, Boston, with the way they've played, obviously defending champs, but also over the course of this season, I think it'd be understanding if the Knicks, you know, fell in six games but were competitive in those games. I think everybody could walk away with that and knowing that, hey, this team is a level ahead of us, but we were at least able to compete. If you get your doors blown off, though, it might be a different conversation looking ahead to that Celtics series.
We know they made two big moves this offseason, getting Kat and then also getting Mikal Bridges. Is Mikal Bridges your year one evaluation? Is what so far with him?
An inconsistent and underwhelming, I would say, overall. I think that, you know, it's funny, I asked him before the series started, like, does somebody define your role for you coming into the year? He said, no, it's just kind of a feeling out process. And maybe that was something that we saw here with Bridges' performance, because I just think that if maybe somebody defines his role for him, tells him exactly what he needs to do, what the hierarchy is, maybe that makes his life a little easier, the transition from being a number one guy with the Nets to being a third or fourth guy with the Knicks. It's clear that that transition was difficult for him, especially on offense, and the defense wasn't what it was built to be off in the season. But look, he can change that whole narrative, right, with swinging a game in a series or having a good series here against Detroit. I mean, no one cares about the regular season, but certainly, like, yeah, I think underwhelming. And that's based on his pedigree, but it's obviously also based on what the Knicks gave up to get him. He didn't trade for himself, so to me that's a Knick criticism, not necessarily a Bridges criticism, but I do think it was fair to expect more from him in year one.
With how you define his role last night, like, he played well defensively. Offensively, he did nothing. But, like, how would you grade Bridges' performances last night?
You know, I think offensively, you had OG Anunoby going, and then Jalen Brunson got going, and Towns is Towns, and he's going to get his. So to me, it's okay if three guys are going, and one of the guys, whether it's Anunoby one night or Bridges another night, it's not their night offensively. So the defense is why he's there. And obviously, within the team scheme, he did a great job. I think in a perfect world, you get some more scoring from him. You feel his presence out there more often on offense. But given the way Anunoby was going, particularly early on, I think it's kind of understandable that he didn't jump out and take a bunch of shots and really establish himself offensively. But that role has kind of flip-flopped over the course of the year consistently with OG and with Mikal. So let's see what happens game two. What do you think, Zach? I'm curious your basketball opinion. Underwhelming, met expectations, exceeded expectations on Bridges? What are your thoughts?
I've been underwhelmed, but I think the tricky part is with how many first-round picks that they gave up for him, Ian, he's probably not worth that. But I look at game two as a moment for him where he gave you basically nothing on the offensive end. You can't expect Cameron Payne to be a great source of offense here in game number two. OG did his job. So I've been saying it going into this postseason. Everyone's talking about Thibodeau. I put more pressure on Mikal Bridges, and it will be interesting. If he doesn't play well this postseason, and maybe they have a round two early exit, if they call up the Suns. I've been talking about Devin Booker, but every insider tells you that it's probably more likely that it's going to be Kevin Durant, Ian.
Durant will probably get moved. If I'm putting odds together, I'm not putting the Knicks near the top of that board. I know there was a report about mutual interest. I'm still not putting the Knicks near the top of that board. I think he'll get moved. But I think that, yeah, if things go sideways against Boston, you're going to be in the market for a big deal if that presents itself. Booker, Durant, what happens in Milwaukee, everybody's keeping an eye there. Because Mikal Bridges, you have this four-year, $150 million extension that he's eligible for in the offseason, July 1. And so that's a big decision for both sides, but particularly for the Knicks, considering where they are financially and what kind of a commitment that is. And so, yeah, it's a tricky dance right now. I agree with you, a lot on the line for Bridges. And we'll see how it plays out here starting Monday and moving forward.
Last thing I'll ask you, Ian Begley, when we get to Monday, and I already asked you about the Pistons and does that game kind of kill them in this series and what you think their response is going to be in game number two. On the flip side, I know when we talk killer instinct with the Knicks, it's usually referred to with the top three teams in the NBA, and they haven't had a victory up against them this year. But I think this is a good killer instinct moment in a series that you're expected to win, like maybe a little appetizer killer instinct moment, because if they come out tomorrow and just run this team off the court, it does feel like with how game one happened, if they could do that in game two, then the series would be over.
Yeah, and it's important too, Zach. I agree with you. If you come out and you have a dominant performance game two, it's going to be over in four or five most likely. And the important thing there is, you know, if you get into a long series with Detroit, six or seven games, you're going to get worn down physically going into that second round matchup, presumably against the Celtics. If you can get through, you know, in five games and you have maybe one easy one, you're fresher for that Celtics series. So I think even looking ahead, these games matter, and the quicker the Knicks can get out of the series, if they do indeed get out of the series, the better for them heading into that second round matchup against Boston.
Hey, by the way, what's the deal with the ankles here with Brunson? I know he's not going to say anything. He's just going to say he's fine and give you that laugh that, like, all right, I know that I'm not 100% fine, but I'm not going to tell you that. Do you have any idea? Can you gather any intel on what percentage Brunson is?
Well, look, the right one, I think, was in a good shape coming into the postseason. The left one obviously was bothering him. You know, if I had to guess, maybe... I mean, I don't think he's really hobbled, because if it was really bad, it would have been a different scenario in that fourth quarter. So I don't think it's a major thing here. But whether it's the right or the left, if it gets aggravated again, you know, maybe it becomes a bigger issue.
You can check all his coverage on SMY, also at Ian Begley on Twitter. Does a great job all throughout the year covering the local basketball teams of the NBA as a whole for SNY TV. He's Ian Begley. Ian, appreciate it. Thank you.
Anytime, Zach. Take care.
You got it. There he is, Ian Begley. Game number one goes to the Knicks. It was a sensational moment in that fourth quarter at Madison Square Garden. I'll give you more of my takeaways on that when we return. Zach Gelb here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. You want to jump aboard, talk Knicks. We could talk a little Yankees and Mets as well as we open up the show with that. Rock and roll all the way up until 9 p.m.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.